Hello, my name's Dr. Sandra Gabeau. I've been a medical doctor for over 40 years and I'm joined today by naturopath and author Margaret Jasinska. Hi Margaret.
Hi Dr. Gabeau, so nice to be with you today.
And it's the 1st of April 2020, so it's April Fool's Day, but we're going to make you wiser today. We're going to talk about an interesting subject, namely, what does your immune system consist of? We hear all this talk about, oh, look after your immune system, boost your immune system, strengthen your immune system. But a lot of people don't realise just how widespread the immune system is in their body. And I think it's interesting from a physiological point of view, being a medical doctor, but some people may not, but still, if you want to keep listening, you might find it really interesting. So, first of all, the liver is not only a part of the immune system, but is also the protector of the immune system. In that if your liver is unhealthy, let's say it's fatty or overloaded with toxins or congested, or you have a liver disease, your immune system will become easily overloaded and many problems can start to manifest. The good news is the liver responds very well to a bit of tender, loving care, and it's able to renew and repair itself. The liver is interesting because it contains a high amount of special cells with a funny name called Kupffer cells, K-U-P-F-F-E-R, Kupffer cells. And they are cells that eat rubbish. They're like a little garbage collection service. And they'll eat up dangerous microorganisms and just general rubbish that could be floating around in your bloodstream.
Most of the rubbish that comes from the gut, really.
Yeah, that's right, because all the blood from your gut, particularly after you've eaten, there's a big increase in blood back to the liver, then all the rubbish that could have been in the food and microorganisms go straight back to the liver, and the Kupffer cells and the liver filter, which are known as sinusoids, they will actually deal with it. So you can see the liver really is a gateway to the body. And so these Kupffer cells and the liver filter can destroy these disease-causing agents that could enter your body if the liver wasn't effective. The other part of the immune system that's really interesting to know about is your spleen. It's a big filter. And it gets rid of microorganisms and old, unhealthy, worn-out cells from your bloodstream. So it helps the liver in that function. The spleen also manufactures immune fighting proteins called immunoglobulin G and immune chemicals such as properdin and tufsin. So interesting, you know, it's a very active organ. The spleen also stores immune fighting white blood cells, and the spleen fights certain kinds of bacteria that would cause pneumonia and meningitis. So people who've lost their spleen are far greater risk of getting pneumococcal pneumonia or meningococcal meningitis.
We were just talking about the hazards of horse riding the other day. So horse riding accidents and motor vehicle accidents are probably more common reasons for people getting their spleen removed, aren't
yes,
they?
Yes, and aggressive sports, yeah. Probably people should wear a shield over their spleen. A spleen shield,
yes.
Good idea.
Yes.
Like a corset. Probably just as important as wearing a hard hat.
Yep.
Yeah. Now, the other organ that's very, very important, really, it's a gland in your immune system, is the thymus gland, which is behind your breastbone. And it's much bigger when you're born, and as a child, it gradually shrinks and becomes much smaller as an adult. And the thymus makes specialised white cells called T lymphocytes, which fight infection. Yeah. That's called cellular immunity. Then we've got the bone marrow. Well, that's right throughout our skeleton. And that's where stem cells are turned into specialised immune cells. Then we've got the lymph nodes or the lymph glands. Those little glands that the doctor feels in your neck and your groins to make sure they're not enlarged. So there are lumps of lymphatic tissue. They're all over the body. And they receive lymphatic fluid from lymph vessels. So they're really a meeting point for the cells of the immune system. We've also got more lymphatic tissue in the tonsils, and in the intestines, and that's there to protect us, to fight invading organisms. We've also got specialised immune cells, which are white blood cells, and include leukocytes, neutrophils, macrophages, killer cells, helper cells, and lymphocytes. So it's a real team in there.
Yes, among patient blood test results, low neutrophils is one of the most common findings that I see. So people have below normal levels of the white blood cell called neutrophil.
Yeah, that's right. And sometimes they've got low levels of lymphocytes, which makes them more prone to viral infections. And that can be an autoimmune disease, and it can be genetic. It can be related to gluten intolerance. It can be related to medications that people are taking.
And nutrient deficiencies, I think, as well, that for weaken the immune system.
Yeah, so we need to work on keeping your white cells up, because they are the little army that fight dangerous microorganisms. Then there's a whole lot of immune chemicals that your immune cells make, such as cytokines, interferon, interleukin. And these are important. For example, interferon prevents cell death caused by viruses. And we used to use it to help people with hepatitis C infections, but we don't use it anymore. But some people are looking at interferon for a role in fighting this new COVID-19 virus. Our white cells also produce immune proteins known as antibodies, which attach to viruses and bacteria and kill them. So they are known as immunoglobulins, and they can be measured in a blood test. So you need adequate amounts of immunoglobulins. So there you go, the immune system's everywhere.
Yes, in more places than you would have realised.
Yes, that's right. So maybe you didn't realise that your immune system was so vast and existed all over your body. Now, we can also look at our immune system as being in two parts which function a little bit differently. First of all, there is innate immunity. So that is just part of us. We're born with that. And we need to keep that strong. And basically, it consists of the physical barriers and secretions that our body produces that prevent microorganisms from invading us. So it includes your skin, you need healthy skin, the mucous membranes in your nose, mouth, respiratory tract and gut, your mucous secretions, your tears, saliva and stomach acid. So we need plenty of these secretions. They are natural antibiotics and protectors. And so things that can help that is a healthy diet, staying well hydrated, making sure that you're not low in vitamin A. Very, very important for mucous membranes.
Yes, exactly. I'm a big fan of vitamin A, and vitamin A is only found in animal foods. It's not found in plant foods. The precursor of vitamin A is found in plant foods, beta carotene. Not everyone converts that across to vitamin A very well. Amongst Europeans, approximately 35% of the population has a genetic issue where they don't manufacture vitamin A well. So vitamin A is found in animal foods, in particular things like oily fish, egg yolks, liver, foods that a lot of people don't eat so much of.
Yeah, so a vegan would be advised to take a vitamin A supplement. Where are they going to get it? Because it
don't
only comes
know if
from
that's
animals.
Vitamin. Don't know if it's vegan.
Yeah, it's not. Well, hopefully their body's converting, but, you know, if you've got a problem with your mucous membranes and your gut lining, you may be low in vitamin A. Good old cod liver oil, you know. Grandma was right. She used to chase us around with a spoon of cod liver oil to get our vitamin A up.
Fewer people were nutrient deficient back then than they are now.
Yeah, I think so. Well, that's our innate immunity, our physical barriers and our secretions. Very important to look after them. You know, they're basic. They're the front line before things get into our body. Then we've got a different part of our immunity called adaptive immunity, which develops or adapts as we contact different offending microorganisms over our lifetime. So vaccination produces adaptive immunity, because when we have a vaccine, we produce antibodies against that particular antigen that's in the vaccine, whether it be a virus or a bacteria. But after we have a natural infection, let's say we get a natural flu, or we have a bacterial infection with streptococcus, for example, then our body will produce antibodies against that particular organism to protect us. Now, it's interesting when we look at these new viruses or novel viruses that come from animals, and particularly the COVID-19 virus, which is very, very acute at the moment. And we need to understand that these new viruses that come from animals are particularly risky because humans have no adaptive immunity to this, because our body doesn't recognize it. There's no precedence. So in a way, you could call these new viruses stealth viruses, because it takes a while for the immune system to go, hey, there's somebody in here, in this body, and I don't know who it is, and I don't know what to do about it. So that makes it harder to develop an adaptive immunity. And we do find that people who've had COVID develop antibodies against it, and they have an immune serum that we can actually inject into people and give them passive immunity, which may be protective, and that's an ongoing research at the moment. But if you survive an infection with the COVID-19, your immune system will have antibodies against it, and you'll no longer be in danger, and you'll no longer infect other people. So basically, adaptive immunity is acquired throughout your life as a result of successfully fighting off infections or after vaccination.
That was well explained. That's very interesting. I don't think a lot of people realise exactly that type of immunity.
Yeah, and you know, another interesting thing, Margaret, is some types of viruses, particularly the hepatitis C virus or human immunodeficiency virus or the flu virus, are very hard to develop adaptive immunity against, because they mutate all the time. They change their genetic code. Mm. So your immune system has antibodies against it, but they don't work very well against these viruses. And even if it worked temporarily, the virus mutates, it won't work in the future. So that's why the flu shot has to keep changing all the time. And with a flu shot, you're really being vaccinated against last year's influenza, not a potentially new influenza virus with a different genetic code. So it's not a complete immunity. And we don't have a vaccine against the hepatitis C virus. We don't have a vaccine against the AIDS virus, because these viruses keep changing their genetic code. They're almost impossible to vaccinate against. So adaptive immunity is not perfect. We also need to rely on our innate immunity and really build that up, you know, help our own immune system to be strong. So there you go. You've understood the two different parts of the immune system. So thanks for listening. We hope you've enjoyed this podcast.
Thank you. Bye-bye.